Thank you again for being here. In the bulletin, in the bulletin, we had something we went over on Sunday, if you could look at it. The three keys to a successful campaign. If you look at that, it's just basically all of us being involved in all the different things that we can. On the cash offering, the weekly and the monthly commitment, and then just everybody doing their part, and thank you for that reminder that as soon as we're done here, what, it works now? Okay, it works now. How's that? Also, right after the service, I'll end right at 8 o'clock. I know we're starting a little bit later here, but right after the service, we have a workers and a ministry workers briefing. That's anybody in here, if you work in any ministry at all, okay? If you Sunday school teacher, you drive the shuttle bus, you bus ministry, Sunday school, nursery, whatever. If you do anything at all in any capacity at any time, we are going to go right after the service. We'll dismiss about 5 minutes later. We'll meet in the Spanish auditorium. We're just going to have a quick building briefing. It won't be long. So if you could make your way over there right away, that would be great. And I think we're there for that. We're going to be back in our discipleship books. We're talking about God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I do want to say one thing that Joseph mentioned. It just got me to thinking, and I want to say this, and I hope you take it the right way, and if you don't, I really can't help you with that. But, and I use the phrase too, I don't want to be political, but there's nothing political about killing new unborn babies. That's not a political thing. And I'm not going to apologize for it, okay? And so, the reason our country, and I'll get off for a second, the reason our country is in a mess because churches don't say anything about what's going on. And I'm sorry, that is not a political issue. That is a moral issue. And if you can't tell who the ones are that are voting for that, then that's on you. You need to be careful where you're getting your news. You need to pay attention to the candidates. Our state has a supermajority on one side. And they're pushing through a bill that your baby can die up to, I think it's 1 or 2 months, and they cannot do an autopsy, and they cannot charge the parent with anything. Okay? So that's the state we live in. And if we'd pull our head out of the sand and we would stand up for righteousness, maybe we can make a difference. Okay? And I get it. I get discouraged too with our state. I don't get discouraged. I get borderline. I don't even know what to say. But at least I'm going to do my part. And so I don't harp on it all the time, but I'm sorry if the church house isn't talking about the slaughtering of unborn babies. And by the way, let me throw this out. Can I throw this out? I can't, thanks. And the stuff they're teaching our children in the school about transgender, and they're starting in kindergarten. They're starting in kindergarten. I'll mention this on a Sunday, but think of this. And what if in our Sunday school teachers, 1 hour a week, you brought your child to our Sunday school and our teacher told them that when you were born, the doctor told you you were a certain gender and the doctor was wrong. That you could go out and do this or that and you don't have to tell your parents and we won't tell them either. That you might be a boy and you might like boys. That it's okay to kill unborn babies. That there is no God. We come from animals. Let me ask you, how many of you would still bring your kids to our Sunday school? Okay, I hope you know where I'm going with this. We send our kids to public schools, and that's what they're being taught 35 to 40 hours a week. And you wouldn't even send them to Sunday school for a week. We've got to snap out of it here. I can't control what the world does, and you can't. Our goal is to reach the world with the gospel, is it not? But you know what? We can control what our children do. We can control what we're doing. And so I'm not, I don't want to get into the politics side of politics, but I will get into the moral side of politics. Okay, if we have differences of opinion on how they should run the electrical, how we should that stuff, I'll give you my opinion, but that's political. When it comes to moral things, that's not political, that's biblical. And I'm tired of people saying that. You might want to read John the Baptist. Yeah. Yeah, so anyhow. Let's talk about the Spirit of God for a few minutes, okay? But I think in the times in which we live, we need to figure it out. I know we have an election here soon, and I get it. I've looked at our candidates for mayor, and there's only one guy I like, and he's not even one of the main candidates. And so I get it. But as Christians, we do need to do our best. And if someone else is going to, and if something's going to go down, it's not going to be because I didn't try my best. And that's in everything, to be honest with you. The entertainment, the places we should, and so we'll go off on that later. And I just felt led to say that. We're looking at the Holy Spirit. Now, we're in chapter, I believe, 3. We talked about God's Spirit. We talked about who is the Holy Spirit, and then we went through what the Holy Spirit can do for me. And I'll hurry through this section. Last time we looked at the Holy Spirit gives us power. Okay, let's move on to the next one. The Holy Spirit gives us truth. The Holy Spirit gives us truth. You know, the Bible is a spiritual book, is it not? So as a spiritual book, we have to understand it spiritually. How can we understand it spiritually? Well, when we're saved, as we looked at earlier, the Holy Spirit indwells in each and every one of us. And as we get into the Word of God, He can help us to understand the truths that are therein. And I'll help you with it so you understand that it's not something goofy. Someone who does not know Christ as Savior, and all of us were there at one time if we're saved, the Bible referred to us as the natural man. And the natural man cannot have any spiritual understanding of God's word. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. When I was unsaved, I could look at the Bible, and there's a lot of things that I would not understand. There's one thing that the Spirit of God, when we're not saved, wants us to understand, and He will convict us very, very thoroughly about, and that is about our need for salvation, right? If you were like me, when I was being witnessed to and I understood the truth of my nature and my sinfulness and what I deserve because of my sinfulness, I don't know about you, that bothered me, right? Anybody there? It's like, you ever talk to somebody, if you've witnessed to somebody, what they'll do in the middle of witnessing to them, sometimes they will ask you a question that has nothing to do with salvation. They'll say, oh, you know, I was just wondering, you know, if someone commits suicide, it's like, that has, you know what, because when we get convicted, we try to change the subject. Well, God's working on us sometimes. We got to get back to reality here. But when it comes to navigating through life, it's after we're saved. Now the Spirit of God helps us to understand the Bible and the steps we're supposed to take. As we navigate life, we are faced with daily decisions, situations that must be faced correctly. As we allow God's Spirit to lead us, He will bring scriptures to mind that will guide us to make proper decisions. He'll help us understand the Bible in a way that allows us to practically apply its truths to our everyday life. Look at John chapter 14. Verse 26, Jesus said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. And whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Yeah. See, it's the Spirit of God that allows us to understand the truths of the Bible. Now understand this, the Spirit of God is not teaching you, this is very important, the Spirit of God is not teaching you truths that are not in the Scripture. Yeah. He is teaching you the truths that are in the Scripture, and he's helping them to be applicable to your life and for you to understand them at the time that you need them. He hits us with the truth of Scripture at the very time that we need it. I've had people all the time, like, you know, I was reading my Bible and I was just doing my Bible reading for this week. And you know, you're going through a situation and you'll read a verse that speaks exactly to what you're going through. Or you're going through something at work or at home or whatever, and you've been reading your Bible, and he'll bring a truth that you learn from Scripture to your mind, like, to help you to get through that. That is very important. Now, let me say this. It is not somebody that says, you know, I was sitting here and the Holy Spirit told me this. When someone tells me that, I say, what verse did he use? He doesn't just give you truth that's not in the Scripture. You hear all kinds, you've heard these people that, well, I died and went to heaven. They were there for 15 minutes and they write 6 books about it. And they answer thousands of questions. You know, the Holy Spirit told me this. It's like, no, he didn't. If it's not in Scripture, he didn't tell you that. Okay, the Spirit inside of us uses the Scripture to get us to where we need to be and to help us to know his truth. Now, next, he gives conviction. Reprove. The word reprove means to convict. We'll look at it in a minute. The Holy Spirit exposes our sins to us. He confronts us with where we are wrong and what we have done. Okay? That's what the Spirit of God does. Now, there's a reason for it. We'll look at that in a minute. That is why confessing our sin in prayer is important. Yeah. And when we're confessing our sins so that he can cleanse us of those sins and we can walk forward in freedom and get victory over those sins. But secondly, when we go to him for forgiveness, the Spirit will bring to mind the things which we need to confess, right? You get down on your knees, you say, Lord, I want to confess my sins. And there's things you'll know you've done, you know, or somewhere you get down there, all of a sudden other things come to your mind. It's like, okay, what's going on? God's just trying to work on us. You know, you were mean here, you said this when you shouldn't, you did this when you shouldn't have, you reacted this way, maybe you should have reacted a different way. Why? He's working on us. There's a purpose in doing so. The purpose is not just to make us feel bad about what we have done. He convicts us of our wrongs so that we can get it right. It's not condemnation. Condemnation is when you get on somebody, you're just getting on them, get on them. Because it feels good and you can yell at them. Okay? That's condemnation. Conviction is what the Spirit of God does to show us what we're wrong so we can agree with God that what we did is wrong and then we can get it right and go forward. That's the goal. The goal is not to condemn us. The goal is for us to understand, hey, I did this. It was wrong. Let me get this right so I can go forward. That's a whole different. When we discipline our children, you're not going to just discipline them so you can yell at them for what they do wrong, right? You're going to discipline them so they understand, hey, that's not the way you do things, so they won't do things that way. They'll do it the right way. You're trying to help them. John 16:8 says, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And so we understand the purpose of conviction. Now, understand that when it comes to our sin, there's a big difference in how the Spirit deals with us and how Satan deals with our sin, okay? And I think it's in your book there, one of the paragraphs. Often when a Christian sins, Satan is there to condemn us. He does so because his goal is to discourage us from living from the Lord. Dealing with our sin and getting it right with the Lord. That's condemnation. Condemnation is, you did that, you're a horrible person, what's wrong with you, why are you even trying, and you're like, I just can't do this. That's condemnation. And that's not what the Spirit's trying to do. The Spirit's trying to point out our sin so we get convicted about our sin and we deal with it. Whereas Satan's goal is to use our sin to pound us over the head so that we never follow God. We don't deal with it. That's where guilt comes from. And then instead of taking our sin to the Lord and getting it right and cleansed right away, now we carry it around on us. And it's depressing and it's discouraging. The Holy Spirit never condemns us. He convicts us of our sins because he wants us to get right. And we said that. Another thing the Spirit of God does for us, he gives fruit. He gives fruit. We'll explain that. The Holy Spirit changes us. That's why he convicts us of our sin. That's why he teaches us truth. He's trying to get us to change. What is God's goal for us? Ultimately, it's to be conformed into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. So the more we live like the scripture, the closer we are to living like Jesus Christ. Okay, see, I want to live like Jesus. Don't get a wristband. Follow what the Bible says. Okay, because Jesus was the Word of God in flesh. He is what a person would be if a person did everything that the Bible says all the time. That would be Jesus. And so we need to be conformed to his, but he gives us fruit. That's how he changes us. As we grow in our faith, as we grow in our faith in the Lord, the Spirit of God develops fruit in our lives and actions. That fruit is many things: spiritual characteristics, godly qualities that are not natural to our flesh. There's also fruit that we have when we, as Christians, try to help others in the Lord and help them to grow in the Lord as we're growing in the Lord. But this type of fruit specifically here is a type of fruit that grows in our life as we grow as a Christian. Okay, and we say it over and over and over. If you plant a fruit tree, and the fruit tree is healthy, the natural occurrence would be it produces fruit, right? If you plant an orange tree and, you know, you take care of it, you do all the things you do to make it grow and it's healthy, the roots are great, it's got enough water, just enough sun and all that, you're going to have a very fruitful tree. That's just natural. It grows. The same is true as a Christian. When we are walking with the Lord and we're trying to grow in our faith, these characteristics, the things that God wants to do in our life, will naturally start to occur, because we're allowing the Spirit of God to use the Word of God in our life. You see it in Galatians chapter number 5. We call this the fruit of the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Those are all ones that we easily want, right? Well, let's move on. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Here's another tough one. Meekness, temperance. That's almost like a spirit-led control of yourself. Against such there is no law. How many of you can look at all these 9 things and say, there's a few of them there that are harder for me than others? Let's just say. Our personalities, I don't naturally have a long-suffering. I've worked on it a lot, trust me. I'm not naturally gentle, you know, and some of these other things. And before you look at me, look at yourself. There's some of them that aren't natural to you, right? So how do we do those things that aren't natural to us? As we grow in the Lord, we're able to do those things a lot better. I mean, we're able to do these things that just aren't natural. So we never have a right to say, well, you know I was mean, I know I was blah, 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 but hey, that's just my personality. We'll get in line. It's most of our personalities. But the Spirit of God can help us to overcome those, and He produces the fruit of those attitudes and those actions that we need to work on. If we're not exhibiting these, or at least growing in these areas, then the Spirit may not be bearing the fruit in your life that you want. So let Him work in your life. Now, next, how do I respond to the Holy Spirit? We need to understand that there's a right way and a wrong way to respond to the Holy Spirit and how He wants to work in our life. And the only thing that will keep Him from being able to work in our life is when we take an improper response to what He's trying to do. When we kind of slow down what God wants to accomplish in our life. Let me just give you a few things here. First of all, don't grieve Him. Don't grieve Him. Remember, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. He's a deity and a person. He's God. He has feelings. When we live and act in a way that is contrary to God's word, we are grieving Him just as we grieve God. You see the verse there in Mark, but you know, it's not in your book, but in Genesis 6:6 it says, and it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. You know, God has feelings, and God loves us. And as a child sometimes can let a parent down, sometimes we can cause grief to our Lord. Mark chapter 3:5, and when He looked round about, this is Jesus, looked round about them on anger, righteous anger, He was being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He just couldn't understand it. And it bothered Him. In Ephesians chapter 4, so if God can be grieved and Jesus can be grieved, the Trinity, Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereon you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Allow Him to work in your life. When God is speaking to you through the Scriptures, when God is speaking through you in the truth, when God is trying to bring something to your mind or something to your attention to work on in your life, don't fight Him, as so often we are tempted to do. Don't quench Him. Next, quench means to put out. The best illustration of this would be somebody slowly putting out a fire. The more we resist the Holy Spirit's promptings to do more right, the more we're quenching Him. This will ultimately, or can ultimately, lead to a time when we eventually stop hearing His voice. Quench not the Spirit. I can throw a little bit of water on fire here and there, and it, I can kind of, you know, slow it down a little bit. But if I douse it, eventually the fire's going out. There is no more fire. We're not accessing. And the same happens with the Spirit of God. It doesn't happen now, but because our cars have like satellite radio or whatever you can get on the internet on some of the cars. But back in the day before all that, you had a radio. So if you took a long distance trip and, you know, you had nothing else to listen to, you listened to the radio, you could only listen to it for so long. Because if the radio station was out of Los Angeles, the farther away you got from Los Angeles, the weaker the signal you got. And eventually, back in the early days when we go to vacation, it's like, you know, after 2 hours, it's like, okay, I got to scan and try to find something else to listen to. Because we're farther away from it. The same happens with the Spirit of God. He's constantly trying to deal with us, and the more we walk away from him and the more we say no, the harder it is to hear the voice, to hear what he's trying to do with us. We stop listening. It's very important we don't do that. Next, be filled by him. Be filled by him. When we are saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. But as we grow, the Holy Spirit should receive more of us. God wants to work in us through his Holy Spirit, but he cannot if we will not let him have his way in our life. God is not limited in what he can do in our life. The only limits of what God can do in our life are, I guess the best way to put it, be self-imposed limits. We're not allowing him to work. He wants to work. He can give us the power to do things, but if we limit that, we're limiting what he could do. It's like I mentioned on Sunday, I think, I had that old moped when I was in high school, and it had a governor to slow the thing down. All the governor did was restrict how fast it could go. Okay, the power was there to go. Once I took the governor off, it went a lot faster. You know what we do? We put a governor on our life. Yeah. Lord, I'll listen to the Spirit, but in these areas, I'm not going to. And so what we do is we limit what he's trying to do in our life. And if we just open it up full board and allow him to fill us, he can do great things in our life, even greater than we would imagine. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. We're controlled by wine when we're drinking it. But on the other hand, we should be filled with the Spirit. We should allow him to completely lead our lives. Next, it goes with it. Let's be led by him. Led by him. Life has challenges and temptations, bumps in the roads. We have to navigate through this life. I get it. If we're going to do it successfully, we need the Spirit of God to help us. God seeks to lead us through his word. Our responsibility is to be open to that leading and open to the truth that he teaches us and make sure that we're following what he's trying to do in our lives. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now we looked at a verse in Jeremiah where Jeremiah, God spoke to Jeremiah directly. He doesn't really do that anymore because we have scripture, but he told Jeremiah to do something in regards to buying a property, and Jeremiah went down there and everything turned out exactly like God had told Jeremiah in his mind. But then Jeremiah said, when it happened, he goes, then I knew it was the word of the Lord. And sometimes God does lead us, okay, small things, not spooky things, but we do something, I feel God wants. But understand this, God will never lead us to do something that is contradictory to his word, right? Well, God's leading me to do this, and the scripture specifically says something, we know God's not leading us to do that. And by the way, I've met people over the years, God's got the blame for a lot of things. And really, it wasn't God leading them. That's what they wanted to do. So if we want to be led by God, he's going to primarily lead us through his word. Next, we are to walk with him. We are to walk with him. In other words, we are to live our lives in such a way where we are in harmony with the Spirit of God. And by the way, that's very important because the flesh is so strong. Right? And if we don't let the Spirit of God lead us, the flesh is there to say, I'll pick up the slack. It's like, you know, we're sinful nature. We have sinful nature. And that sinful nature will say, I'll take care of this. So we need the Spirit of God and the truth of God to kind of combat that. And so we walk in the Spirit and we can We can bypass a lot of things. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Now, what happens if we walk in the Spirit? "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh." Why? The Spirit of God's never going to lead us into something that's fleshly. Yeah. The Spirit of God's never going to lead us into something that, in a sense, is almost like, I don't know, tempting us. And so we walk in the Spirit. If someone is leading us the right way, they're going to lead us away from danger, not into danger, right? That's why, that's why we pray, "Lord, lead us not into temptation." Like, we find it ourselves, by the way. We're really good at that. We need to say, "Lord, I don't want to be into temptation. Lead me so that everything I do is away from these things of the flesh." We need to be very careful about that. The Holy Spirit can help us and is the power behind us being able to live the Christian life. So if we're struggling in that, which we have to fight it all the time, if we're struggling to live the Christian life, it could be we're not allowing the Spirit of God to lead us through His Word. We're maybe quenching Him. The things we know that God wants us to do, we're not listening to it, which makes it easier not to hear it as we go on. But the Spirit of God is there and He wants to help us. Okay? We do something wrong, we start feeling bad. That's not condemnation. If you're feeling it's condemnation, that's Satan. If you feel it, that if it's the Spirit of God, He's going to lead you to confession so that we can forsake it and get over it. So we got to let the Spirit of God work in our life. And we'll stop there. Let's pray together tonight. Our Father, we do thank You for loving us. We thank You for the Spirit of God. Lord, I'm so glad that after we're saved, You didn't just drop us here alone, leave us here alone, to fend for ourselves, to try to live this life in our own power, which we just cannot. You've given us a guidebook in the Word of God, and You've given us a guide in the Spirit of God to teach us the guidebook, to help us to apply it in our life, to help us correct ourselves when we get off course. Help us to have a right relationship with Him. Help us to have a right relationship with You. And help us to seek Your truth at all cost. Be with us now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.